the worker confidence, worker power that would divert the great river of blood, sweat, and tears away from his profitable mill race. We workers, that's you, by the way, you're not middle class, we have the power for now. Even as the plutocrats who run the American oligarchy have already diverted titanic tax sums into their own pockets, trillions of dollars was instantly available to enrich the rich. You notice that? Well, those are the same trillions we have always been told that we cannot possibly use to have a Green New Deal to make this society bearable and even prosperous. We were told it didn't even exist, those trillions, and every attempt to move to a sane and gracious society was met with, but how will we pay for it? And now we see exactly how we can pay for everything, for that National Health Service, for schools and colleges, for our greatly desired and desperately needed Green New Deal. It's right there. And the Trump, McConnell, Pelosi machine is stealing it again, once again, for the stinking rich. You've been listening to Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell. And you've been listening on KBOO 90.7 FM, coming to you from our great big red and white Eiffel Tower on the West Hills, going out to you on other frequencies in Oregon, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:29 a.m. Next up, we have Fight the Empire. You're on.
I don't hear anything. Am I supposed to hear the radio?
Yeah, you're on. I can hear you.
Okay. You want to play my music first, or? Do you want to play my theme music first?
Yeah, we don't have any music today. Problems with the technical problems.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so I'm on the air right now then, huh?
Yes.
All right, well, without the theme music, it's kind of hard to go on without it. But anyway, here we go. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Pierre Fogring. And I suppose a lot of people know about the Bible story about the prodigal son, in which this young man, he demands his share his inheritance, and he takes the money, leaves the family home, and goes to the city, and he takes his money and he just sort of blows it all on wild living, and until he's broke, and so he returns home broke and actually broken in spirit. And he's hoping that his father will take him on as just an ordinary servant. But lo and behold, the father forgives him and celebrates his return. So that's the Bible story, which is sort of a parable on forgiveness. But nature is not so forgiving as all that. And think of it this way, that the oil that was in the ground, the oil that we've been using, that oil took millions of years to get there, and we used about half of it in just 2 centuries. And the other half really can't be used because destroy destroy the atmosphere. So basically, that oil that took all these millions of years to form is gone. It's gone forever. It's not coming back. In a way, the same thing happens to minerals. Minerals they don't actually run out. They get we go from high grade ore to low grade ore, and the low grade ore is more dispersed, and it requires more energy to process it, to mine it and refine it and all that. An example would be gold dredging. We all know the stories about the California gold rush, where people found 49ers found these big huge nuggets in California. Well, we don't find nuggets very much anymore. Now and then we do, but a lot of the gold that's in the ground is just is dust, and it's just sort of dispersed in the soil. And years ago, I had a summer job up in a gold mining operation north of Fairbanks, Alaska, and it was a dredging operation, and the way they destroyed the soil, this is a long time ago, and people didn't think what we were doing to nature in those days, but they take an ordinary landscape, kind of rolling hills and creeks and everything, and they'd lay pipelines and then heavy water cannons. They would shoot a stream of water about 200 feet and just sort of knock over trees and uproot and roll over boulders and flatten the ground. And then they moved in what they call these pile drivers that actually pounded pipe into the ground with water running through it and down to about 80 feet. And then they'd cap it off, and what they do basically is take this flattened, level landscape and turn it into mud. Up in Alaska, a lot of the ground under the very top layer is permafrost. So they've turned this ordinary landscape into a big, huge lake of mud, and then they move these dredges out that scoop up the mud, wash all the gold dust out of it. It's a long process. And what comes out at the end, well, two things come out at the end. One is what they call amalgam, which is a mixture of gold and mercury. And that comes out in little cups. But at the other end of the dredge, out comes big, huge piles of mud. And it would take centuries for that mud to return to permafrost. And so they don't do this kind of mining anymore, but that's what we had when I was working there years ago. And this is how mining depends on energy. Well, getting back to inheritance, you could say prodigal humanity has used up its energy inheritance. This oil that we made use of, and these minerals that we've been using all these centuries, they have been used, and they're not coming back. Some of the minerals, some of the things we made can be recycled, but they are kind of, we have taken our inheritance, our oil and mineral inheritance, and we made a lot of stuff out of it. We built cities and civilizations, and here we are sort of near the end of this process. And have we used this inheritance wisely? I don't know. You can decide. If people want to call, then the number to call is 503-231-8187. Do you think the human activity on this planet has used our one-time inheritance wisely? I don't know. But the point is that unless you get a new source of energy, there's not going to be any economic growth. Right now, the only real source of energy is sunlight, which is constant. That comes in, that's been coming, reaching this planet now for eons. And fossil fuels, in a way, were stored sunlight. Sunlight created coal and oil and all the fossil fuels, and that took this long process, and we've been able to mine the results of that and use it, and we've used it up, and so we are left basically with the sunlight that keeps coming in. So how do you build a growth economy on sunshine? And so, well, what we are left with is renewables, which for our purposes is mainly wind power and solar power. And this is not a matter of choice. It's not like we choose to go to renewable energy. It's sort of the only option that's left to us. And we have to ask, will renewables allow consumption as usual? And at this point, Michael Moore, who has made this film called Planet of the Humans. And it's been widely criticized negatively as being unfair and inaccurate. And I've seen the film. You can go online and see it for free. It's about an hour and a half long. And you can read all the criticisms. The film Michael Moore has been criticized for downgrading what are activists like Bill McKibben have been doing, and there's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of anger at Michael Moore. He's been considered as kind of he was one of us, and he's kind of gone over to the dark side or something. And but a question has been lost in all this is at what level of activity will renewable energy provide? Will it allow us to continue our present use of energy sort of indefinitely, or will it allow for future growth, or do we go back to some level in the past? And this is as recently as say the 50s and 60s and the 70s, our economy used a fraction of the energy it uses now, but you can't say that our standard of living was worse than it is now. You know, we had a very decent standard of living back in the 60s and 70s, and you can compare what the U.S. uses to other countries. European countries use much less energy per capita, per person, than we do. But people in Europe, they live very well. Somehow they managed to do this. We haven't. We waste an awful lot of the energy. And when we stop wasting this energy and get on some kind of a rational energy budget, will it, at what level will it be business as usual? Or will it be at some level? Is there enough energy for everything that we want? I would say one thing with the energy situation the way it is now is that air travel seems pretty clear at this point that air travel is on its way out. There's really no way that I know of to fly an airplane on renewable energy. And, there have been attempts at creating some kind of jet fuel out of wood chips. You know, they can sort of work as a modest experiment, but they do not, they have yet to be scaled up to any commercial use. So without jet fuel, you do not have jet airplanes. And it's very interesting that just the other day, the billionaire investor Warren Buffett apparently dropped all his airline stocks, pulled all his money out of airline stocks, and other investors apparently jumped right in. They saw some kind of opportunity or a chance to make some big money, but we try to imagine a future without air travel, because it's happening. Well, right now, because of the coronavirus epidemic, pandemic, air travel has been greatly eliminated. But even after we get through this pandemic, air travel may still be kind of flat on its back economically. There really is no way to fly commercial airplanes on renewable energy. So that's one thing that we see in the future. It could be that the energy we get from wind and solar, there's lots of things that they can do. And of course, the beautiful thing about renewable energy is that it keeps on going, and it's sort of a level of that level of energy that you can count on, you can rely on it. But there's a great question whether it will continue, allow us to live on the energy budget we have right now, let alone any kind of growth. So without growth, we might ask what happens to the economy. If people want to call in, the number to call is 503-231-8187. Do you see a future for, what kind of future do you see out of renewable energy? Have you seen Michael Moore's movie? What do you think of it? I've seen the movie and I've read some of the criticisms. But I think the main point is that renewable energy is not the panacea that a lot of people seem to think it is. One of the people that the Stanford professor named Mark Jacobson, who very strongly believes that renewable energy will provide any level of economic activity we want. And he has Stanford University has got a kind of a detailed plan from Mark Jacobson that can be seen and criticized. It has been criticized by some analysts, but he doesn't seem to be content with that. He seems to be suing people who criticize him.
We have a caller.
We do have a caller on the line.
Forrest.
Well, you're on the air.
Thank you. Perry, this is Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
And a while back I read about Jack London. He wrote a book 120 years ago called People of the Abyss.
I read it along. Yes, okay. Tell us about it.
Well, after his experiment of trying to live like the homeless people in London, East London, he, in the last chapter of the book, he made an analysis. And he said that at that time, 5% of the population could provide all the basic needs of the people. There were enough people could make shoes, clothing, food, shelter, everything. All those basic needs could be provided by 5% of the population. Well, productivity in the last 30 years alone has doubled. Our workers are way more productive and efficient, and we even have robots doing some of the work and so on, but wages have not gone up. Wages have remained stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is this? Jack London's answer was the problem is not production, the problem is distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under capitalism, how are things distributed? Well, you have to have a job. If only 5% of the jobs are providing the essential needs, then what about the other what about the other jobs? What are they doing? Well, they're just some way of people getting money so they can live. You know, if we had a universal basic income, all this extra activity that's not really necessary, that's wasting, squandering our resources, polluting our air, destroying nature, poisoning the earth, would not be needed. You know, mm-hmm. And we can see that now with our experience. There's only a few people that are absolutely essential to the economy. Those people are going to work, taking risk of getting COVID-19. The bosses are staying home. They're not really essential. So that's, if you want to comment on that, I'll take off air.
Well, it's kind of hard to comment. I don't know, 5% of, I'd have to look at his analysis. I read that book years ago, but I don't remember that a whole lot about it. But it seems kind of, it's hard for me to believe that the economy can be, that our essentials can be provided by 5% of the working population. I don't know. I'd have to see that analysis. But that depends, too, on what kind of energy, what kind of machinery they have at their disposal. So it all comes down to what is this, you know, how much energy is available to carry on this economic activity. Are you still there?
We have Arthur on the line.
Okay, well, Arthur is on the line. Okay, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I'm just a background here. I'm 53 years old, formerly homeless. And from a psychological, anthropological viewpoint, which has not been addressed, a lot of homeless people are looking at the whole system as a whole. 40 hours a week to get a paycheck, which just barely pays your rent and buys you a car to work another 40 hours next week, with no addressing any personal skills or aspirations you might have. You know, there's a psychological reason, not just mental illness, but there's an overall societal reason why people are becoming very disillusioned with the system as it is now designed to profit a few. I'll take my answer off the air, but if you want to address that briefly, you have been, but I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I think the system seems to be breaking down in many little ways, and you know, our system depends so much on cheap energy, cheap oil. You know, we've been living off of cheap oil now for a couple hundred years. It's provided a great deal of prosperity, but the oil is getting more expensive. Think about it this way, that back in 1859, the first commercial oil well was in Pennsylvania. And they drilled down and they hit oil at 69 feet. Well, since then, you know, you've had all these oil activity in Texas and Oklahoma, you know, these big gushers that would, you know, oil would rise 100 feet in the air just from the pressure underground. Well, those days are really kind of gone. The oil now, instead of just drilling down a few hundred feet for oil, we go under the ocean, we drill horizontally, we engage in fracking, which pollutes the soil and the water table. So oil is getting harder and harder to get. There is a kind of a ratio of the energy return on the basis of how much energy is invested. And it's like the in the old days, you know, you get like a 100% return or on your energy investment, but now the ratio is going much lower. It just costs us more energy just to get the energy. And if it gets low enough, it gets to the point where we're kind of at a standstill. so we've been living on this cheap energy, which is our inheritance. This is the back to the prodigal son. We have taken our inheritance and we have used it up. And whether we've used it wisely is kind of, you look, think it over and decide. But the basic fact is...
We have a caller.
It's gone. We do have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning. Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Just wanted to speak similar to the spirit of some of the other calls. I would encourage everybody to go out and read David Graeber's book, BS Jobs. And then if you search College de France, David Graeber, he gave an excellent lecture called Revolt of the Caring Classes. And in this lecture, he talks about how not only is something like, 30-35% of the work that's being done completely useless and of no socially redeeming value whatsoever, it actually constitutes a kind of sadomasochistic form of social control. In other words, this is work that simply exists to maintain current class structures. So it's like this fetishization of dominance and submission while simultaneously destroying the planet. So it serves to enslave humanity while simultaneously promoting consumerism, which invariably wipes out our resources. So again, that's College de France, David Graeber, Revolt of the Caring Classes. It's just an excellent lecture. I think everyone would really enjoy it. Thank you for the time, Per.
Well, that sounds like a very interesting. Thanks for that lead. I have to look that. I've heard of him, and I have to look that article up. But not only does this seem like an evil system, but a malignant system, but it's one that really it can't last. It's not sustainable, and I would say, considering what the different kinds of future. Futures we see, the one that seems most likely to me is as long as we're looking things up, look up the Sandinistas, the Zapatistas in Mexico. They came to attention back in 1994 on the anniversary of the free trade agreement, and they live in Chiapas and they have their kind of self-sustaining communities. And they've been pretty quiet. They have their communities going, and they've been at work all these years, and they sort of I think basically the future is good. Talk about BS jobs, of which there are many. Probably in the future, the most important jobs will just be growing food. Just to feed people, food and medical care, and some of the basics. We're getting back to a basic kind of economy, and to do that, capitalism, which relies on the growth, which pays off investors at fantastic benefits, profits, it can't last. It is not lasting right now. It's kind of giving up the ghost, as it were. And so when you think of what kind of sustainable economy will there be, I would check out the Zapatistas and see what they have going in Chiapas, Mexico. So this has been Fight the Empire. The empire is built on exploitation of people and resources, and this is kind of a doomed effort. People are not consenting to be exploited, and the resources are not there to be exploited. We're going to have to get. It's not a matter of choice. It's a matter we are being forced to live on our income. Not on our inheritance, which we have used up. So if we're living on our kind of energy income, the way of life we choose, will matter greatly. It's You know, we can make it livable. It may be a basic economy, but if it's sustainable and fair to all, that is, you could say that is better than what we have now. We have extravagant wealth on one hand and desperate poverty on the other hand. It's just amazing to me that people are living in the streets, living in tents and everything, at the same time that these billionaires are living in these lavish mansions and yachts and penthouses and everything. And the disparity in the way of life that people have is just it's something that's it almost seems like something out of science fiction. So that the time is getting up, it's getting close to 10 o'clock. This has been Fight the Empire, and we've been talking about alternative energy, a little bit about Michael Moore's movie Planet of the Humans. Check it out. See what you think of it. It's been widely criticized by some pretty angry environmentalists, but check it out for yourself. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:59 a.m. Next up, we have Flashpoints.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm.